The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is brought to you by Marquee Sports Network.
All right, a lot going on in our town, certainly. We would normally be all things Bears at this time, getting ready for the
Saints. Oh, I told you earlier, Matt Nagy's probably the happiest guy in the city right now, that everyone's laying off of him right now.
Because we do need to have time to play something from him today, because
he
was talking about play calling again, and about negativity and through all that. So let's talk to our old friend here with the Tony La Russa news. The last time Tony La Russa managed a baseball game, it was Game 7 of the World Series. And that's a game that the Cardinals won. And they won the World Series. And Tony drove off into the sunset. And now 10 years later, he will be managing the Chicago White Sox. And somebody who hit leadoff for that Game 7 for Tony La Russa was our old friend who used to come on with us all the time.
You disowned him when he went to the Cardinals, didn't you?
Well, I once had the T-shirt that said "You can't quiet the riot."
That's...
I was a fan, but then, do you remember when he made news? He joined us when he was on the Cardinals, and we joked about Timberlands and Cardinal fans, and he sort of went with it, and he got in trouble in
That's
St.
Right.
Louis.
So we've
always liked Ryan Terrio, and he joins Waddle and Sylvie right now on the Corona Hotline. Ryan, how have you been, my friend? Oh, he's not ready. Okay.
It was a good lead up.
Such a good in.
It was good. It happens. It happens. But yeah, I do remember that. I don't remember much, but
I'm like,
remember
is Ryan
too.
Talking to me? That was such a damn good intro.
It was.
Yeah. I think that's one of the first miscommunications Abdallah and I have had.
Yeah.
You sounded
better than an enthusiastic Rick Hahn as he met the media today. Like, you had
more
enthusiasm in your voice.
Who was less enthusiastic, Rick Hahn or Tony La Russa?
I just think that's Tony's personality.
He's always been that way.
Kind of low.
When he's not caught in the moment, right?
Yeah.
He could pick his battles, though.
Yeah. Like, I don't think there was... Like, look, I'm not trying to stir the pot, but I don't think there was any doubt that Rick Hahn told you exactly how he felt, you know, without telling you exactly how he felt.
Let's go take two here.
Take two. All right. Build it up again.
All right. Let's go to the Corona Hotline right now. We talked to our old friend, who the last time when Tony La Russa managed a game in 2011, Game 7 of the World Series, this man hit leadoff in that game where the Cardinals would win the World Series, and he could tell us all about Tony La Russa's most recent game as manager. He's a former Cub. He's a former old friend. He is Ryan Terrio, and he joins Waddle and Selvey. Ryan, how you feeling today?
I just heard a statement. You said you don't like to stir the pot. I don't believe that one bit. I mean, come on. Let's go. You're better than that.
You're right, Ryan. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed.
It's been a long time since we've chatted. How have you been?
I'm doing great, man. Just chasing kids and transitioned into the business world, enjoying that as well. And, you know, watching this baseball, man, I'm so glad we got to have some games this year. Locked into the World Series. Dodgers finally got them one, so that's cool. But that's it, man. Just kids are getting older, and I'm getting better looking by the minute.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Hey, so, Ryan, when you heard that Tony was back in the game and that he was going to take over this White Sox team as their manager, what were your thoughts? What are your thoughts?
Man, listen, when Dusty got the job in Houston, I promise you, I thought to myself, Tony's going to do it again. He's going to go back at some point, you know. Similar to the way I felt in Houston, and this might not be popular, I don't know, but I thought Dusty was the perfect hire for the Astros and the situation that they were in, coming off all the scandal and whatnot, and they had a pretty good team. I think Tony is a great hire. You know, I've been kind of following this on social media and reading comments and stuff, and it's kind of, there's not a lukewarm take on this thing, man. They either love it or they hate it. I'm going to say this about Tony, and fortunately, you guys know, throughout my career, man, I was just very fortunate to play for some great managers, starting with Dusty and then Lou Piniella, then obviously Joe Torre, then Tony, and then Bruce Bochy. So it's just a great list of guys. Tony La Russa may be the greatest baseball mind I've ever been around in my life.
Wow.
What made him that way? Yeah.
He was so prepared, y'all. I mean, for everything that could come. You see the shifts that are going on now. I mean, Tony was doing that 20 years ago. You know, he's going to thrive in the 2020, 2021 version of baseball, meaning with the numbers and the analytics and the measurements and all that. I mean, you'd walk into Tony's office and there'd be these yellow sticky notes all over the place. It looked like some mad scientist was coming up with a new chemical or something. And so he just, any situation that would come about, you know, he was ready for it. I'll give you an example. We were playing Milwaukee. I believe it was the playoffs in 2011. And I had just really had a lot of success in that building. It, whether I could see the ball better or Milwaukee's pitcher sucked, I'm not sure, one of the two. But I get to the yard, and I'm not in the lineup. Well, of course, I'm pissed off and go in his office and you know, kind of slam the door closed and go sit down. You know, and he kind of pulls his glasses down on the tip of his nose because he probably knew what was coming. And I said, Skip, what the hell? He's like, what do you mean? I said, well, why am I not in there, man? Like, I kill these guys. You know, I've got a lifetime, whatever, average against them. And I can't remember who was pitching, but I had success off of that guy. And he came up with more stats, more reasons that I shouldn't be playing. I walked out of there feeling about 3 feet tall. I'm like, man, I suck. I don't know why I even play. Like, on days, you know, after you know, August 31st with – you know, temperatures 40 degrees or higher, and the moon is in this phase, you know, you hit 130. I'm like, oh, okay, really, you got me there. But he was just so prepared for every situation.
Ryan Terrio joining us. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. But he hasn't managed in 10 years. How will he relate to a 23-year-old player today?
So in order to be a great leader, and this is not only in baseball, but this is in business and in life. If you want to lead, you have to be able to communicate. And communication is key in a baseball locker room, football locker room, business world, whatever it may be. You have to do that. Tony's bilingual, okay? And what one thing that amazed me about him is he got buy-in from every person on the team. And this is 2011, so I really only have 1 year to go off of, but they kicked our butts pretty much every time we were in Chicago. So I watched it from afar, from the other side. But he's a wonderful communicator. And that doesn't change depending on what year it is. You can either communicate and you're good at it or you're not. And Tony's good at that.
What about, Ryan, like the young swag? You know about swag. And now the player likes to swag and bat flip. And Tim Anderson's on this team. And Aloy can just hit. If a guy appreciates what he just accomplished, do you believe Tony will adapt to baseball in 2020?
You know, I think Tony will, but I also think the players will adapt to Tony. You know, there's certain people that when they walk in a room, people just gravitate toward them. You know, you guys know, you probably got friends, when they speak, people just listen. You don't know why, but they just, they command that type of respect. You know, Tony is that type of guy. You look at his track record, you look at what he's done, the guys he's managed, the championships, the whole deal. So, you know, I think there's going to be a little give on both sides. You know, I think Tony's going to have to adapt a touch to what the game is today and the players. I like it. You know, I think I love that these guys can have a voice and can show some personality on the field. I think it's wonderful. But in the same breath, you know, I think when he steps in that locker room and speaks, I think you're going to see some of these players go, oh, okay, you know, this guy knows what he's talking about.
Ryan, you know the grind of a 162-game season. You know, I'm not trying to be an ageist here as the oldest guy here on the show, but at the age of 76, do you anticipate this being a grind for Tony?
Yeah, I do. You know, I don't think it's going to be. I don't think it's going to be easy by any means for him. You know, it's not something that you know, that you can just wake up one day and decide that you want to do. If I had to imagine, he's been thinking about this for a while and is ready to get back in the game. You know, 10 years is a long time to recharge the batteries. You know, per se. So, you know, it's probably been on his mind. He wanted the right situation, and this is the right situation for him. You know, is he gonna stick around for 10 or 15 years and manage Again, you know, that long, probably not. You know, but he's not dumb. He wouldn't have stepped into a situation that he didn't think he could win a championship pretty fast. Mm-hmm. And we all know what's going on over there, man. They have a lot of good young players, and it's an exciting team. It's a fun team to watch. Like you said, there's a ton of swag. You know, so, yeah, it's going to be a grind, but this guy's done it for a long time, man. It's nothing new, and I think he'll be prepared.
Waddle was worried about what if a free agent is considering the White Sox. So all the good, and I'm glad we talked to you because you had some interesting things to say that we didn't know about. Do you believe that he could recruit a free agent, or do you think a free agent would look at him and say, I don't want to play with that dude, he's too old school?
Man, I don't know. I think that just depends on the player. I mean, I could see it both ways, you know. If it were me, and obviously I've had an experience with him because I played against him for a while, when I got the call that St. Louis was interested in me, Tony was the main reason why I wanted to go play there, you know. So I guess to that point, man, these guys, they're going to have to take somebody's word for it, you know. There's not a lot of them that have managed to or played against him. Probably very few, actually. But that being said, I mean, baseball guys understand the history of the game. You know, I think probably more than any sport, you know, baseball is reminded of what happened in the past. And so, you know, it's not very hard to Google Tony La Russa and look at his track record and some of the guys he's managed and coached and the success that he's had. I don't see it hurting. You know, only way I would see it hurting is if it's a guy that's trying to sign a long-term deal or looking for multiple years. You know, because you never want a coaching change to go down or a giant personnel overhaul when you're trying to win a championship.
Ryan, from a broader perspective, not specific to Tony, but in baseball in general, how do you feel about where the game is with the reliance on analytics as much as we've seen, and Snell being taken out of the game when he was taken out of the game, and, you know, it's a walk, it's a strikeout, it's a home run. Is it healthy for the game? Do you enjoy the trend that baseball's headed in right now?
You know, I say this a lot, you know, when we talk about homers and you know, the guys throwing super hard and kind of the game has changed. You don't see the bunt very often, stolen bases is you know, basically out of the game now, but I do think history is going to repeat itself. I mean, I think it always does. You know, at some point, a pitcher like Charlie Morton is going to figure out that a sinker wins in 2021 because none of these hitters have ever seen one. You know, where 10 years ago, 15 years ago, everybody threw a sinker, right? You know, so I think it's going to repeat itself. You know, when you watch a game like Game 6 and you're seeing the dominance of Snell, and I just knew it was going to happen, though. I mean, I think we all did. We knew he was coming out, and he should. Even before he came out, you know, it Chris Carpenter in 2011, you're not going to see that again. You're not going to see Barry Zito in 2012. You're not going to see guys, you know, that really dig deep, and it has nothing to do with their ability or the analytics, but it has everything to do with their heart and their will to win. I think that's what's missing right now. No, Snell shouldn't have come out the game. I mean, come on, what are we doing?
Right.
The happiest person on the planet was Mookie Betts and those guys sitting in that opposing dugout, you know, to get him out of the game. You got to have some sort of feel. I like analytics. I like numbers. I think it's great information. However, you have to have some sort of mix of feel for the game, and you have to be able to manage among the analytics, you know. And I mean, Tony's going to coach circles around these guys if that's how you manage. Honestly, you can't manage off a piece of paper. I mean, are we really pitchers really grabbing their hat and looking up under their hat or grabbing a piece of paper out of their back pocket and looking to see what the hitter does? I'm cracking up laughing at Kenley Jansen. Of course you're going to give it up, dude. You're looking at a piece of paper rather than focusing on the hitter. I mean, like, what's going on, you know? So I think there's a healthy mix there, you guys. And you know, it's going to have to be found and found pretty quick. But the game itself is great. It's fun. I like the three-batter thing. That's interesting to me. I hated the guy on second base in the extra innings this year. I thought that was stupid. But I do like the DH. It makes it more fun. So we'll see.
Okay.
Awesome.
Just to reiterate, so out of Dusty, out of Lou, out of Bochy, LaRusse is the best manager you played for.
Oh, man, they were all so good. And you forgot Torrey, too.
Torrey.
Just to not piss anybody off, I'm going to say Skip Bertman was the best I've ever played for down here in Baton Rouge at LSU.
Of course, yeah. That's a cop-out. That's BS. Hey,
6 national championships in 9 years. My boy on the Bayou just doing work for the Tigers.
Can he help out the football team?
Oh, God. They can't tackle. It's horrible. It's disgusting. I opted out, though, you guys, so that's the good news. And I did it 2 weeks ago. So I opted out. So I'm emotionally detached from the whole situation, just waiting for 2021.
Are you a Saints fan too?
I'm a bandwagon Saints fan, admittingly. My remembrance of the Saints as a kid was my dad would be sitting in his chair watching the Saints games. You know, we'd click it on and we're enjoying ourselves. And by the second quarter, he'd fired the remote across the room. He was smoking a cigarette, watching a John Wayne movie. You know, so. The fact that they're good cracks me up. So when they're winning, I'm a fan. But I honestly, you know, I do some radio down here. People know me as the Saints hater. I mean, okay. I don't believe them.
Don't pick the Bears this weekend. Yeah, no, I mean, yeah. Our team, even though 5-2,
not so good.
Yeah.
Not so good.
Ryan, great stuff. Great stuff.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I appreciate y'all having me.
Thank you, Ryan.
There you go. Ryan Terrio.
That's fun.
Former Cub. He went to the playoffs in 07 and 08 with the Cubs. And then he went to St. Louis. He won the World Series in 2011. That was the last year that LaRusse manages.
You feel better?
Well,
anybody feel better?
Well, look, LaRusse is, of course, his credentials are awesome.
He's not baseball stupid.
He's not baseball. Print up the shirts. He's not baseball stupid.
Okay, so does anybody feel better? I guess that's the question. Do you feel better now?
All right, do you feel better about that, but will you feel worse after hearing the Bears' injury report?
Oh, boy.
We will continue to take your phone calls on Tony LaRusse, 332-3776. React to what you just heard from Ryan Terrio. Big endorsement, but the news is not good from the Bears' injury report. We give you that next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Tony LaRusse is the new manager of the White Sox. We continue to take your phone calls on the still really surreal and surprising move. Even Rick Hahn admitted that was not what he was considering when the press conference was had to fire Ricky Renteria a few weeks back. So we'll take your calls, 332-3776. Waddle, the big names on the Bears injury report.
I saw that.
Did not improve.
No.
Allen Robinson, still in concussion protocol, did not practice.
Remember, Taylor Gabriel found himself in concussion protocol last year and actually was out for quite some time. I'm not connecting those dots directly. I'm just refreshing your memory that there are some instances where players go into concussion protocol and it does take a while to get back.
Khalil Mack, who did not practice with the ankle injury yesterday, did not practice once again today. So that's 2 days in a row. Then the other big name is Cody Whitehair. Those are the big three. Whitehair, again, has that calf injury, and this will be the second straight day that Cody Whitehair does not practice.
I am actually, personally, with no inside information, more concerned with Whitehair and Robinson's availability than I am Mack. I'm expecting Khalil to play. Again, I don't have any inside information, but I think of the three, I would be most hopeful with his chances of playing.
Now, if you look at Khalil Mack when he's been with the Bears, he usually plays through the bumps and the bruises.
Right.
But I do believe when he missed 2 games in 18, wasn't it due to an ankle injury?
I think you are correct.
So
you are correct.
It's something you got to monitor here, and you hope that at least they're limited tomorrow. The only good news that I see on this is that Cole Kmet, who had the back issue and he was limited yesterday, was a full participant today. So they're going to need all hands on deck, especially if Robinson can't go offensively.
And I want it to be cold and windy on Sunday.
It's like I heard Tracy, and boy, Abdallah, who thought that the wind gust would be like 15 miles an hour.
Yeah.
It's She said today, wind gusts of up to 40 miles an hour at game
Boom,
time.
Boom, shakalaka, let's go.
Chris, could you cancel our tea time on Sunday, please?
She said
is
wind
that what
chill.
You're upset about?
You guys are so weak.
She said
I'm
wind
not golfing in 38 degrees.
I wouldn't either, Adam.
She said wind chills in the 20s and 30s.
Yeah, I saw.
I'm not golfing in that.
Yeah. I wouldn't golf in that either.
So that does favor the Bears.
Of course it does. The Saints don't want to be outside in that crap.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't favor the Bears. Yeah, the Bears can't run the ball.
Listen. Okay, listen to me for one second and just understand where I'm coming from. The only perspective I'm coming from, and I'll use the what year was it, Sylvie? You're smart at this stuff. Where the Saints came to town in the postseason.
Right. And 2006. It was the year they went to the Super Bowl.
Well, I'm just saying.
It was January of 07.
Peyton was the coach, wasn't he?
Yeah, and he had to practice indoors.
They practiced indoors. I'm just telling you, the Saints have not played outdoors all year.
Here's Spin Zone, Abdallah.
Maybe
this forces Matt Nagy to run the ball.
Time out. I am giving you full disclosure. I'm picking the Saints. Okay, I'm picking the Saints. I'm just telling you, I'll take anything I can get. Anything. And I'm just telling you that out there at Soldier Field with 40-mile-an-hour winds, right, Chris? Isn't that what you said? Gusts of 40 million? It's going to be less comfortable for the Saints in that environment than it is in their dome.
Yep, okay.
I took the Bears, Waddle.
You're a moron.
I know, but I don't believe in the Saints yet either.
I don't know what you're over there grumbling about, Abdallah. Like, I'm not sitting here telling you anything
other than 2006.
History tells you that the Saints don't like to be outside in inclement weather. They're not used to it, and we need anything we can get to help us.
You're talking about the victory January 21st, 2007. The Bears won 39-14. Thomas Jones, 19 attempts.
We mock what we don't understand.
123 yards.
We
Cedric
mock
Benson,
what we don't
24 attempts, 60
yards. You're forgetting about the touchdown pass to Bernard Berrian in the bad weather.
We
too.
Close our minds to things that we can't comprehend.
Bear weather benefits nobody. Put that on a shirt. Put that obvious shirts. Put that on a shirt. Bear weather benefits nobody.
I'm not talking about bear weather. What I'm talking about is windy weather for a team that relies more on the passing game than we do, and an environment that they're not as comfortable in.
They do run the ball better than us, as Abdallah mentioned.
They do everything better than us. They're a better team.
I just want to golf on Sunday.
Let me ask you
you're
a question. If I got a team that plays in a controlled climate, don't you feel that if you put them in slightly inclement weather, you've got a team that's out of their comfort zone and it may help you a little bit?
No.
And it will force Nagy to run the ball.
Then you don't understand things.
I do understand things. I understand. Do you know football? Do you watch football? Have you seen the Bears play football? Have you seen the Bears run the ball? They can't run the ball in a dome. They can't run the ball. It's like Dr. Seuss. They can't run the ball in a dome. They can't run the ball in the grass.
Sometimes God gave you two ears and one mouth for a reason. And the point is that I'm making to you. I think
he's got three miles.
Because the ears work half as good.
I picked the Saints to win this game because they're a better football team. But I'd like to enhance my chances as a Bear fan, and I find it more likely that they will be able to get something done on that field under those circumstances as opposed to being in a comfortable dome in New Orleans. That's all I'm saying, brother. That's all I'm saying. Like, I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel. I'm just trying to tell you that anytime the Saints come to town and I can get 40-mile-an-hour wind at 32 degree, I feel better about it than playing them in September when it's 75 and sunny with no wind.
What was the weather last year?
It was 60 degrees.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's not
good. And they're a better team. They're a better team.
And that was without Kamara, and that was without Breeze.
Why would you want them to be even more comfortable?
I don't, but it doesn't. It's not like it benefits the Bears.
By the way, I hope that somebody has a bad pancake in the morning on the Saints team and has the runs and can't play.
Oh, that's not nice to wish.
I don't care. I'm saying I want any edge I can get. I'm looking for an edge. I got a guy with the runs.
You're looking to poison their pancakes.
I didn't say that. Maybe there was an egg that's out of date that exceeded expiration.
Anybody want to deliver a pizza to the Saints Saturday night?
Listen, like what I'm telling you, what I have just done is I've exposed myself as somebody that is desperate. I'm desperate.
Yeah.
I want my team to win. I don't think they can because their offense sucks. So what I'm asking for is anything that will help them. That's okay. All.
I got some Marcus Stroman information.
I come in here every day thinking that we're going to turn the page and I'm going to be positive. And you drag me back into this angst feeling every day.
Don't blame us. You're getting wound up on your own.
Oh, you be quiet.
We were just talking about weather.
40-mile-an-hour winds, and now you're going crazy on the Bears again.
And they made the shirt. Obvious Shirts made the shirt.
What shirt?
Nice.
Bear weather benefits nobody.
Nice.
Oh, it's already made?
Well, I mean, he tweeted a picture. They tweeted a picture of it.
There's no such thing as bear weather.
It's delivered. How about that?
There's no such thing as bear weather.
Hater.
No such thing.
What do we want the Tony La Russa thing to say? Tony La Russa's, what was your motto?
Stay awake. What? I was talking to Abdallah.
Stay awake, Tony.
I know. I was talking to Abdallah. He was over there. He was nodding off. I said, stay awake.
I'm laughing. I'm laughing.
I was addressing Abdallah. That's all.
I just got
a call from an 800 number. Is my alarm going off somewhere?
Yeah, you know it.
This is the week. I've gotten so many calls and texts and be like, hi, this is blah, blah, blah from Vote for blah, blah, blah. Would you like to?
You don't live in a big house, though. He's getting an alarm call.
What is that supposed to mean?
Apartment shaming.
I'm sorry, I don't have a replica Amen corner in my backyard. You're an ass.
Who?
I'm sorry, I don't have neighbors that want omelets.
Did he even know about this? Did he react to it?
I don't know.
When I asked my neighbor,
he's all aboard now. Of course,
he's guaranteed. He just guaranteed it.
Oh my God! After one conversation with a Cardinals broadcaster,
today's guaranteed is tomorrow's banned tweet. So 3-3-2-3-7-7-6. Marcus Stroman did react again to the Tony La Russa news, and he clarified his liking of tweets. I've got that coming up. Your reaction to the Tony La Russa news, 3-3-2-3-7-7-6. Or if you want to shout out Bear Weather, go right ahead.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
One of the free agent pitchers out there is Marcus Stroman. And here's what he tweeted, because I told you earlier people were assuming that he didn't like the move because he was liking anti-Tony La Russa tweets. So somebody on Fansided wrote that up. Marcus Stroman is definitely not signing with the White Sox. Someone wrote that article. So then Stroman just tweeted out 30 minutes ago, this isn't true at all. Everyone assuming based off a few likes. I'm not allowed to like tweets without them having any direct meaning towards a future situation. People change, grow, adapt daily. Who knows what the future holds? I'm excited for it regardless.
Yeah, social media will be the downfall of our society. At some point, I've said that for years now. And just another example, there's thousands of them on a daily basis.
Eric in Scottsdale, you're on with Waddle and Sylvie. Hi, Eric.
Hello, guys.
Hello, Eric.
I feel like I'm like one of like five people on the planet right now that actually thinks this hire is pretty good. Like everyone's saying AJ Hinch, like that seemed like the one between La Russa and Hinch everybody wanted. But let's admit something. Other than when he was stealing signs in Houston, you know, I live here in Arizona, so Hinch was the manager of the Diamondbacks. Hinch really hasn't accomplished anything without sign stealing. So I think that's even worse than hiring La Russa. And two, La Russa, he's won in this game, and everyone's like, oh, he's going to ruin the clubhouse culture, but like I don't feel like this is a team, like everyone's saying Tim Anderson, I don't think they're a team who would turn against the manager, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, listen, I don't know how he's going to interact with the guys. I think Tony La Russa has earned the benefit of the doubt, though. We'll see. You may be skeptical how he'll interact with a group of young, energetic, filled with swag players.
Here's what Nate tweeted. He said, Tony coached Ricky Henderson, who literally flipped his bat, spun, and danced around the base pass. He also had the Bash Brothers, who stood on home plate after a home run. Pretty sure Tim Anderson will be fine. I thought it was a good tweet. So he's going to have to adapt. That's the part of the game that he definitely will have to adapt. Jonathan in Bloomington, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Jonathan.
Hey, how are you doing today, sir?
We're good. How are you?
I'm doing great. So I'm a college kid, and I just wanted to point out some stuff that Tony La Russa cannot really adapt to our generation of players and stuff like that. Like Moncada, Eloy, Robert, they probably don't know who he is because he wasn't managing when they were following baseball. So I don't know how he's going to relate to them. And then my issue is that man is old. That dude is older than my grandfather. Like, how is he going to be able to handle the stress of October? Like, he might fall over going to the pitching mound. I mean, how can he be the manager? So, I don't know. Me and my boys here are just really concerned. So, do you guys think there's going to be like a backup plan if his health like fails? Or what are your guys' thoughts on that? Appreciate it.
Carmen has heard rumblings that their double-A manager in Birmingham could be on this staff. He's a 30-year-old former prospect who has been managing in their system since he was 27. He's only 30 right now. His dad is the third base coach of the Kansas City Royals that they're super high on, and maybe maybe he's a Wisconsin kid, this guy, and he may be the manager in waiting. They didn't talk, guys. Did we even find out how many year of deal this is?
No, that was the question I had that I never heard. How long is this? I don't care about how much it costs, but how long is the contract?
You know, that was one thing that I didn't hear. And then the other thing that I don't know if you guys picked it up or not. I didn't hear it. When did the conversations with Reinsdorf begin with La Russa?
I remember hearing
it happened after Ricky was fired.
Yes. Rick Hahn explained it. Didn't Rick Hahn say that in the press conference that things changed because of the availability of La Russa?
Well, he was always available.
Based on him being interested back, I'm asking, when was the first contact?
It's a good question. One thing I remember from what Tony said was he was surprised he got the call from Jerry.
I think Jerry surprised Rick Hahn with this, because I don't think Rick Hahn talks like he talks if he even knew Jerry was reaching out before, after they fired Ricky. That press conference, I think, and remember, Jeff Passett in today's age is as good of a story breaker as anybody. And he tweeted out immediately that this is ruffled feathers in the Sox organization. And there was nothing today that I saw from the general manager, Rick Hahn, to dispute that. Because he definitely didn't spin it. He didn't spin it at all. Ed, on the South Side, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Ed.
How you guys doing? Nice to hear you guys' voices. A lot of opinions. Of course, at last, whippersnapper, since I'm an older guy, I'm going to totally diss him. Talk about he may fall over. You know what?
Yeah.
Young man, hopefully you'll be lucky enough to live to be 76.
There you go, Ed.
But anyway,
as another old guy, I support your comment.
Right. You. Going forward, I kind of blame this on Rick Hahn. Now, I'm going to tell you why. Oh. Because, see, as a GM, you got to kind of be forward thinking. He knew before last season started, whatever direction the White Sox were going, he knew they were going. They had a lot of upside, and he knew that Rick Renteria was not going to be his guy. So while he totally had the keys to the car and could drive it anywhere he wanted to, he missed his window of opportunity. But let me say this: Tony La Russa does have an extremely proven track record, and I gotta believe he's got to be able to relate to players, and I think there's going to be a lot of players, when they walk into their clubhouse, they are going to know that they are in the presence of a Hall of Fame manager, and Tony La Russa is also going to know that he's in the presence of a team that's got a chance to make a lot of history. So I think based on those two reasons, I think it And I had my knee-jerk reaction. I'm not going to lie. I had my knee-jerk reaction. But I'm over that now because I got to support my team no matter what.
Ed, let me. Are you a big Sox fan? You sound like a diehard Sox fan. Can I ask you a question?
Oh, I'll be a Sox fan after I'm dead. Okay.
Okay.
I'm the one that called not too long ago and said I love the White Sox more than I love my three daughters. Okay.
Oh boy. So, Ed, let me ask you this question.
It's a different kind of love, though.
With Nomar Mazara failing in right field this past year, do you think the Sox will sign Harold Baines to play right?
That's not very nice, Sylvie.
That's a good question, because I'm going to tell you something. Now, I'll say this about Mazara. He didn't hit well. That's no question. He was starting to come around towards the end, but I'll tell you this. He does catch the ball. He can catch the ball, and he knows how to hit a cutoff man. See, I was a catcher, so I got particular things about defense, but I do like Adam Engel better. I do. I just do. Because both of them defensively have a lot of upside. And I do like that. That's a tough call. That's a tough call.
Thank you, Ed. We like you. Keep calling, Ed.
Yes.
Ed's a great caller.
That's good.
312-332-3776. We need to play the Jack McDowell sound, too, for everyone to understand what Jack McDowell had thrown out recently regarding the cheating scandal. People keep bringing up about AJ Hinch with the cheating scandal. And Jack McDowell recently brought something up about Tony La Russa. We'll play that coming up. All your phone calls to react to the huge news. The Sox will certainly be talked about because they're good, and they may be talked about more now that La Russa is their manager. The 4 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by my guys at The Home Loan Expert. The presidential election is less than a week away. They let The Home Loan Expert get you locked in before November 4th. Why take the risk when rates are in the twos? Check them out today at thehomeloanexpert.com.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home.
Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Talking White Sox, as Tony La Russa was named manager today. We aired the press conference. Play some Rick Hahn later in the show. Want to give you this.
Give me this.
We played this before. The other shows on ESPN 1000 have played this before. Chris, do we have an exact date when Jack McDowell said this? From probably, about a year ago, I would assume.
The date on here is from January 17th, but that's when it was put into the system.
It was probably at the beginning of the year then, right after the Astros investigation. Because this is Jack McDowell, the former White Sox pitcher, who talks about that the Astros weren't the only team who has been in on sign stealing and has used technology. There's a former Sox pitcher, remember. Take a listen to his story.
We had a system in Old Comiskey Park in the late 80s. Gatorade sign out in right center had a light. There was a toggle switch in the manager's office and a camera zoomed in on the catcher. Okay? I'm going to whistle blow this now because I'm getting tired of this crap. There was that. Tony La Russa is the one who put it in. He was also the head, the first team of all the team of people doing steroids. Yet he's still in the game making $500,000. You know, no one's going to go after that. It's just the stuff's getting old where they target certain guys and let other people off the hook. And, you know, like the media doesn't know that this all happened, what's going on. Everybody knows. Everybody who's been around the game knows all this stuff. Why all of a sudden it became a big thing, I have no idea.
So that was he did not like that AJ Hinch and Alex Cora had to take the fall, and yet here was Tony La Russa, who he accuses him as a former White Sox pitcher of masterminding what the White Sox used to do.
That's
allegedly
for all the people that were, you know, not for AJ Hinch because he was a fixer and a cheater.
And remember, he was the manager of the height of steroids with Maguire and Canseco, and then Mark Maguire.
Oh, he's just taking his vitamins. Come on.
He was the manager when they broke the home run chase in 98. So, again, before you wag the finger at A.J. Hinch, do you really know the full story? Do you really know?
Do you really know?
Robin Burridge, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Rob.
Hi, great to talk to you guys again. This isn't actually about the Sox. I was getting back to the Bears in terms of I know that we're worse than the Saints. I know we probably will lose, maybe get lucky in some defensive stuff. I know our running game sucks. But I was thinking in terms of what we just consider Bears weather, I really do think that can be an advantage. Three different points. One, as Waddle already said, it's always good to put somebody out of their element. You know, that many, many years ago, what was that stat with Tampa Bay where if the temperature was under 40, they were like 1 in 12 or something crazy?
No,
you remember
it was worse
that?
Than that. Yeah, it was worse awful. Than 1 in 12.
So
yeah.
It really is a thing. You know, they don't like to, you know, go in bad weather. And so it's just off of their game. So that's one. The two is the second, the most important, I think, is if you think about it, you got swirling winds, 40 mile an hour, whatever it is. That's taken out the pass game, obviously. Do you think that taking Foles out of the pass game for the Bears or taking Breeze out of the pass game for the Saints is hurting which team more? It's going to hurt the Saints more, right?
Sing it loud. So, they'll call you stupid and you're too old to understand, but go ahead, Rob.
I know.
I face it every day. Go ahead.
Me, Tommy. So that's one less advantage. Do they still have the advantage in the run and everything else? Sure, but what are you going to do? You got to take less than advantage. I mean,
Dan, that's a brilliant call right there. Give Rob a prize, will
really,
you?
Really? Are we really? We're really debating pair weather now.
No. What we're saying is that I don't believe, as I've been saying, I think prior to Adam even being alive, that there is no such thing as bear weather. I didn't like playing in the cold. Nobody likes playing in the cold. It sucks playing in the cold. All I'm saying is when you're overmatched, you'll take anything that you can perceive to be an advantage. If you take a team that has not played an outdoor game all year and you put them in below like 32-degree weather with 40-mile-an-hour winds, maybe it'll get them out of their element a little bit and it'll work in our favor. Not enough for them to win, but that's all I'm saying.
The problem with Rob's theory is that, yes, you taking Drew Brees out is better than taking Nick Foles out. That's beneficial to the Bears. The problem is this. Foles is their only source of offense because they can't run the ball at all.
I'm not even talking about the Bears. Like, I haven't removed the Bears from the conversation. I'm talking about taking a team out of their element a little bit and hopefully gaining something from it. I don't think that that's too hard of a concept to actually digest.
If Allen Robinson does not play and there's 40-mile-an-hour winds and they still don't run the ball, I am going down to Soldier Field to personally take the Denny's menu away from him.
Well, you know, Uber now and get a car reserved.
They should then fire him as OC then. If that doesn't happen, if he coaches in 40-mile-an-hour winds without his top receiver and still throws the ball a ton and doesn't run, what excuse is there now?
No, you're 100% right. I can just tell you, like, there are example after example of guys will tell you that when teams that are used to playing in different situations come out and you see it in their eyes and they're like, holy mother of mercy, this ain't what I like. I mean, it can affect some things. That's all I'm saying. Nobody's here trying to perpetuate the myth of bear weather. I didn't want to play in that crap. It was awful.
Yeah, and you
it's cold and wet, and it sucks, and it sucks for everybody.
Let's take your calls. 312-332-3776. Don't call about bear weather. Yeah. Call about the White Sox and Tony La Russa. Do you like the move? It is overwhelmingly not approved on our Twitter poll. I'll give you results on that. You'll hear from Rick Hahn, and we have phone lines for you at 332-3776. We're back in 2 minutes.